The Positive Chats Podcast. Today, our guest, Dr. Bruce Becker.
It's great to be here.
Before we get into the interview, I always like to ask our guests a fun or semi-personal question. So, you do podcasts, you do books. What would be your favorite or go-to work of fiction in the way of a book?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I would say the Lord of the Rings.
Oh, good choice. Man, after my own heart right there, at least in the way of good nerd books. I just opened up The Silmarillion recently and started getting into that one. I'm a big fan of Lord of the Rings as well. So, Bruce Becker, where are we calling from today?
I am calling from southeastern Wisconsin, about a half hour northwest of downtown Milwaukee.
Oh, awesome, awesome. So, Packers fan, into sports, anything like that?
Oh, well, after this past weekend, I have to rethink my loyalties. But, yeah, I've been a lifelong Packer fan.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I grew up a bit of a Packers fan, and then somewhere I got corrupted into a team from New England somewhere that we won't talk about.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, I think most people prefer that I don't, which is fine. I understand. So it says here that you've got a lot going on, and you've done a lot. You've served as a pastor. You've served on the board of regents for things. You've served as chairman on several committees. What then got you into? Let's start with what got you into ministry. What got you chasing after the Lord and wanting to serve His body in so many different ways?
It started when I was, I don't know, maybe 6, 7 years old. I had an uncle who was a pastor, and I told him that I wanted to someday be a missionary, a world missionary. And he said, well, then you should become a pastor first. And so that got me thinking along those lines. So from a very young age, I decided I wanted to be a pastor with the hope of sometime going to a foreign field and being a missionary.
Okay. And did you ever get into foreign missionary work, or did God change your course somewhere in there?
Oh, He certainly changed my course. But in my role today as part of Time of Grace Ministry, we are reaching the world, both in print and video and audio. And so I think that desire as a kid has indeed come true, but not in the way I planned it.
That sounds about right in terms of how God works. We have our plans, and then He has His actual course for us. What then, in the course of your pastoring and doing all the things that you do, got you into, you have a podcast, and then you also authored a book. What took you in those directions?
It started when I joined the ministry team at Time of Grace, which is a media ministry. And my role there has evolved over the course of time to where for the last 2.5 years, I started a podcast, and I have written multiple books, partly because I guess I'm gifted in that area, and because on the StrengthsFinder list of your top 5, if you're familiar with that, learner is my number 2. And so I just have this great desire to keep learning. And so writing books and doing podcasts enables me to satisfy that strength.
Wonderful. Awesome. That's a wonderful outlet for it. I am aware of the Clifton Strengths Finder. I believe Learner is somewhere in my top 5 as well. So far we're 2 for 2 for being nerds, Dr. Bruce. Tell us a little bit about, I listened to an episode on the way in, the Bible Threads podcast. I think you're on a true crimes series right now. Tell us a little bit about that. What can listeners expect from your podcast or the series that you're currently on?
Yeah, I'm just finishing up that series. Got a couple more to go. But it was actually a suggestion from one of my colleagues that said, you know, there's true crimes all over the place. And what about True Crimes Bible Edition? And I thought about that, and I said, to take a look at the crimes that people committed in the Bible and then how God reacted to them, because He didn't always react the same way, and then what does that mean for us? And so the series is 10 parts long. 10 episodes, and it was just fascinating to me as to how God responded to different people who had committed some kind of crime. Many of them were murder.
Yes, that does happen quite a bit. I think I caught the episode of the two Herods, Herod the Great and then his son, and the different ways that each of them, one committed mass murder, the other an individual case with John the Baptist. What you mentioned the way God responds differently to those things. What were maybe a couple of different responses to God to maybe similar crimes? I'm very curious to know.
Well, what seemed to be the thread through the Bible is that where people committed a crime who did not love and honor and obey and serve the Lord God of heaven and earth, God reacted and responded with punishment. But in the case of like Moses and David, who had in their heart a love and trust and fear of the Lord God, he responded with grace and mercy. And that's pretty consistent. And so with the Herod episode that you listened to, it did not turn out well for either of the Herods.
No.
Because they did not accept and honor and believe in the true God.
That is very true. That is very true. Now that I'm thinking about it, both Moses and David were contrite. They both were very humbled by what they had done. And so God and then in turn showed mercy. Well, that's very fascinating. All right. So your book, which I am very curious to know about because it has quite a curious, I almost want to say, I hope it's not rude of me to say, almost a clickbait title, if you will, because I'm automatically intrigued. It's
This is a statewide test of the Ohio Emergency Alert System, originating from the State Emergency Operations Center in Columbus. This is only a test. The Ohio Emergency Alert System is designed to provide the public with timely warnings and emergency information. Had this been an actual emergency, you would have received instructions and information related to that emergency over this and other stations in your area. This concludes this test of the Ohio Emergency Alert System.
Didn't believe that Satan was real, that he was a real being, that he was a real entity. And I'm going off. Christians, don't believe that. Certainly I understand how others who aren't Christians might not believe that. So it got me thinking about the fact that we need to take Satan seriously because he is a real threat to Christians who are, living, struggling in this world.
Fascinating. How much, what did you say the percentage was of Christians who don't believe that Satan is actually a thing?
Yeah, I probably misspoke. It's only 35% of Christians in the United States believe that Satan is a real being.
35%.
That was a Barna research study back in 2009. You can Google it and read it. It's fascinating.
That is fascinating because I could see like the rest of the non-believing world maybe being in about the lower third of people who actually believe in it. But Christians, that is fascinating. And as I'm sure as a big, I don't remember whose quote this is, but in order to overcome your enemy, you need to know them and understand them. I think that's a classic like war and engagement tactic. You can't defeat your enemy if you don't understand who they are and what they do. So take us through then, what do we need to know about Satan in order to understand what we're up against?
Well, Satan, shows up throughout the pages of Scripture. In fact, if I can digress here, I'm working on my next podcast series, which is called Intersections, and it's where the spirit world intersects with the world of the Bible. And so I want to dig deeper into this whole aspect of Satan and angels and how they show up on the pages of Scripture. But Satan, Genesis chapter 3, he shows up for the first time in the Garden of Eden. He's a liar. Jesus calls him the father of lies. He's an evil one. He's the source of all evil. He wants us to walk away from our God. He leads us into temptations. He's going to attack us. He's described in the Bible as a serpent dragon. He's going to come like he did to priest in the book of Zechariah, Joshua the high priest, and he accuses Joshua the high priest of not being worthy to be a high priest, and the Lord intervenes in that. So there's so many different aspects of Satan, and another one is he masquerades as an angel of light, so he looks like a good angel, but in fact he's coming at us to deceive us.
Fascinating. Looks like an angel, but is actually coming at us to deceive us. What, if I may ask, have you had any, like, in your own life, as you've learned about this subject, what are the ways that you have encountered and maybe needed to overcome the devil or the temptations that he might be trying to throw at you in your ministry?
I think the one that he uses for me personally is to put seeds of doubt into my mind. Doubt that God truly loves me, that God can truly forgive me when I keep doing the same things over and over again, which don't align with God's will for my life. So, you know, doubts about forgiveness, doubts about God's love, doubts that, you know, God is in control. So I would put it in, you know, sowing seeds of doubt.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's very common for a lot of people, something I myself have also experienced, the doubt. And perhaps I liked where you brought up that Satan tried to accuse one of the prophets of being unworthy. I think that's probably also something that I've encountered, mm-hmm. and I'm sure others have, of just feeling unworthy of what God has given us or called us to. And that's interesting, because I would probably have previously just accounted that to shame or burnout, but perhaps you're suggesting spiritual warfare is at play.
Yes, I believe that. He's not our friend. He is our true enemy, and he wants to bring us down. But Jesus has already beaten him. The victory is already won, and so we can have confidence that as we go through our lives, that we can resist him. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 6, about resisting, fighting, putting on the full armor of God, standing firm against him. So on the one hand, we recognize that he is our enemy and that he prowls the earth looking for people to devour, Christians to devour. And yet at the same time, we can have total confidence that Jesus has defeated him, and that with God's help, we can resist him.
Amen. I totally agree. And that is something I love to get into, the practicalities of what that looks like on a day-to-day basis, because for people who maybe are dealing with doubt or shame and they're not really sure where it's coming from, what would you suggest would be like the first step for somebody who's maybe dealing with spiritual warfare or up against the devil and they don't actually know it?
For me, it is starting with what John says in his first letter, is to remind myself as I get up in the morning, look in the mirror. He said, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And it's starting from a position of, hey, God's got me. He lives in me. And he is greater than the one who is in the world. So, first of all, is to recognize that whenever those temptations, those doubts, the frustrations come, is to say, hey, Satan, I have Jesus in my heart, and he's greater than you, and he's defeated you. So it's coming at things from a position of, look at what Jesus has done for me. Look at how he has empowered me.
Since we've used a few nerd references, I'm gonna equate that to the spiritual high ground for those who are Star Wars fans. But to not come at it right from, we're not approaching, when we approach life, start our day with God, we're not approaching it from last place. We're actually approaching it from, we have the high ground in Christ. We are already protected, basically, is what you're saying. We're already entering the day with God at our back, with the winning power on our side.
And when those frustrations, temptations, anxieties all come, is to recognize, okay, this is not what God has in store for me. So it's recognizing it and then approaching it from a position of strength. It's, these temptations and so on are going to continue to come as long as we live on this earth. It won't be until we get to heaven that we'll be free from them. So it's just recognizing who Satan is and what he's trying to accomplish.
Yes, yes. Which, as you've mentioned in how he's talked about in the Bible, he is the father of lies. What were some of the other titles, some of those other tactics, just to remind our viewers, maybe just chiming in here?
Well, he's described in both Genesis and Revelation as a serpent dragon, and, you know, think of a fire-breathing dragon. He wants to, you know, and then there's things like, you know, he's a liar. He is evil. And the reason, and another thing to keep in mind, I just thought of this, is that the reason the Son of God appeared on this earth was to do what? To destroy the devil's work. His work is evil. It has nothing good. He makes accusations against us. And he's really, I think of Judas Iscariot. He tempted Judas, who was a greedy man, to sell out Jesus. And then, so he got him to sin. And then after he got him to sin, then I can just imagine Satan coming, you did what to the Lord Jesus? You betrayed him? And it led him to take his own life.
Oh,
that's the evilness of Satan.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense if I've looked at the mistakes that I've made, that, like, we feel tempted into, and then maybe Satan is the one tempting us in that direction, and then as soon as we give in, he reverses it and then shames us for it and basically pounds us into the ground for it. Huh.
In the book, I describe that as like a skilled boxer. Mm-hmm. He's got a 1-2 punch. You know, the first one's to tempt us to disobey God, and the second one then is to accuse us of having disobeyed God.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah, I've heard it said, some lines drawn with, and I see on the cover of the book, there's an image of the snake, and that's the first time we kind of meet Satan in the Bible, is he comes in the form of a snake, which I'm told they are, it's a good parallel, because they are, snakes are just pure instinct creatures. They don't really have like a sense of logic or anything. It's just pure instinct. So Satan likes to prey on our instincts, our fears, the kind of the more carnal side of humanity, our fears, greed, lust, those types of things. And then turns around and shames us for it. That is absolutely fascinating. Listeners, if you are just joining us, it's the Positive Chats podcast, and we are currently discussing with Dr. Bruce Banner his book, Give Satan the Credit He Is Due. Where, Dr. Bruce, would we find this book if we're interested to learn more about it and the things you've written in it?
Yeah, it's available at our website, timeofgrace.org. Go to the store, and if you just search for Satan, it'll come up. just a short book. It's an easy read. Not that many pages, but it tries to give an overview of why we need to take Satan seriously.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that very surprising statistic, 30%-ish, it looks like, of Christians actually believe that Satan exists, and it's would be very difficult then to overcome the spiritual enemy if we can't even acknowledge that he's there.
Now, I've also seen some more recent stats that suggest that number has increased among Christians. Some other studies have been done in the meantime. So, you know, where this stat is discouraging, there are some other surveys that are a little more encouraging, that maybe Christians today are recognizing that because of the evil in this world, that Satan truly is real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was, I want to say that I've heard, I don't know if you know, that the name Satan, like, that has a meaning in it in itself in Hebrew, but I can't remember what it is. I'm just going to quiz you right now and see if you know.
The Satan and the devil, it's focused on deceiver.
Oh, okay.
That he is a deceptive one.
Gotcha. Okay. Which makes sense, right? With the Garden of Eden, he takes God's words and kind of twists them and then uses them to deceive and misdirect Adam and Eve into going against God's will. Interesting. Very fascinating. Where might we find the Bible Threads podcast if we are interested in looking up that?
It's available on any of the podcast aggregate engines. The official title of it is Bible Threads with Dr. Bruce Becker. And so just type in a search for Bible Threads and it'll show up. Mm-hmm. It's on, from what I can tell, it's on, you know, all of the podcast delivery mechanisms, or you can find it also at timeofgrace.org.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, I found it this morning on the Apple Podcast app that I have on my phone. I just searched Bruce Becker. If we may return to, because you said Lord of the Rings when I asked what your favorite work of fiction is, and I just kind of want to dig into that a little bit, because there's a lot of material in that book, and people have different reasons for liking it and reading it and returning to it. I've read it a couple times myself. Why Lord of the Rings? Why would that be your pick for favorite work of fiction?
Well, it ties into what we're talking about today, is Tolkien, the author, you know, there's so much symbolism in that, that talks about, you know, good and evil, right and wrong. And so it's that supernatural aspect of Lord of the Rings that is just intriguing.
Gotcha. Yes, a lot of themes in there. Have you ever read The Silmarillion? I'm just curious.
No, I haven't.
Ah, then with the subject of your book, I recommend it to you. And for anyone listening, it's nerdy. Right, it's like it's the underpinnings of Lord of the Rings, the history of the world that Tolkien created, so that his story would have depth when he wrote The Hobbit and he wrote Lord of the Rings. But it starts off with a very interesting story, almost allegorical, of, you know, God and Satan and Satan's fall from grace. There's characters Iluvatar and Melkor. Someone's gonna correct me on that later, but that is basically an allegory for God and Satan and the interactions in the way that the character that's basically Satan is opposing God and opposing the work that he's doing. So you might actually really, really enjoy parts of that, if I can send that your way. And recommend to our listeners to check out Dr. Bruce Becker's book, Give Satan the Credit He Is Due. The subtitle, let me see here, is It's Time to Take Satan Seriously. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Are there any other things that you'd like to impart to our listeners before we sign off for the morning?
No, if you just say that at Time of Grace, we have seven different podcasts, and they all are different. They are for different audiences, for different people in their walk of faith at different levels, whether you are a new Christian, whether you are want to learn more about how to live as a Christian. So I would check out some of the other podcasts as well. They're all great. And it's just not everybody's going to like Bible Threads, but they can find a podcast that they really do appreciate and enjoy.
Wonderful. Well, I am, as we've kind of uncovered a little bit, a fellow nerd and lover of history. So Bible Threads, definitely checked that box for me. I was very much enjoying learning about the Herods this morning. Could you mention by name one of the other podcasts that would be, maybe hit a different market or a different audience?
One of them is it's called Little Things with Amber Albee Swenson. She's one of our female podcasters. She is just highly relational and just brings to life what it means to walk as a, especially as a woman, a Christian woman, in this world with her, you know, her family, her friends, her church. I've got so many people who have said they just totally enjoy Amber's podcast. Little things.
Wonderful. And the website, once again, the media group that you're with, if we want to find those other podcasts through the website, it's
Time of Grace Ministry, and you can find us at timeofgrace.org.
Timeofgrace.org. Well, thank you again so much, Bruce, for coming on the air today. The book, one more time, Give Satan the Credit He Is Due, available through, I think you said, the website, timeofgrace.org.
Yep. Awesome. That's correct.
Well, again, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, go read your Bibles and check out a little bit in the book of Genesis. Satan does have some repeated tactics, so it might be something educational for us all to kind of look at. Oh, yes, I have felt accused, or I have felt a little misdirected at times. And always good to get into the Word, because you can tell what the light is from the shadows, but it also helps just to be in the light. Would you agree with that, Dr. Bruce?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for joining us on the air. Hopefully we can have you back sometime. It sounds like you're working on another book. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. I actually just started another one that really focuses on Christians not being losers, based upon Peter's two letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, because the first century church that Peter wrote to could possibly see themselves as losers and being attacked. I'm going to start writing that. Got a couple months to get her done, and it'll be available next April, I believe.